And Father, we do lift up Anna this morning. We just pray for her and Noe, all the family, thanking you, Lord, for your healing power, but also for physicians and doctors, Lord, and just being able to completely remove all of this from her body. And Lord, we pray for them, bless them. And Father, for Kay Balatoni and all the remaining children there at the Balatoni home, I know they're meeting today, beginning to plan the funeral. I just pray, as I always know and do, Lord, that you're the God of all comfort, and I'm thanking you that you're there with them as they plan and make preparations. And Lord, we also lift up Mary this morning, Amy's mom, just being with her and giving Amy just perfect wisdom on what to do. And Lord, for my wife, Becky, that you just continue to restore her body and raise her up as well. We love you this morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all that are present. Bless your word now that you've exalted above your very name. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we all say, amen. Amen. Let's turn to John chapter 15 this morning. It's hard to believe we're in the Christmas season, isn't it? And boy, this year will, this year has for me, I don't know about you, but it's just been a flash. I mean, it seems like it's just gone so quickly, and maybe it does that, you know, after you turn 40, like me, they say that it really moves forward on you, you know? But with all that being said, you know, we know that, as I have said from the beginning, when we began the Upper Room Discourse in chapter 13, that this is the last night of the Lord's life. He is preparing his disciples for his departure. So they are there in the upper room. When we reach John chapter 14 through 17, that has been called as the Holy of Holies of the Gospel of John. And man, there's no doubt that it certainly is because of the incredibly deep teachings of our Lord. Now, with all that being said, remember that we left off last time in verse 17, where this command, Jesus said, that ye are to love one another. Now, with all that being said, to the believer, meaning to this church, to them, the disciples, and we're disciples as well, those that are in the upper room, this was not from the lips of our Lord a suggestion. It wasn't even something that's optional, nor is it debatable between God and us. Amen? It is a command to love one another. That's how the whole world is going to know who we are, Jesus told us, remember, in John chapter 13. Now, listen carefully. Anyone, any person, or any local body that says that Jesus or calls Jesus their Lord and Savior, if they do not obey as much as lieth within them by the grace of God, by the strength of the Holy Spirit, if they don't obey verse 17 that we covered last Sunday, or John chapter 13, verse 34 through 35, which is the new commandment that Jesus gave us, to love one another as he loved us, okay? To not do so, if those who do not do that, number one, I fear that they should not call themselves Christian, nor ever, ever call them a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are a chosen branch, amen? We are in the vine. We have chosen to abide in the vine. If we are drawing life from our Lord, that nourishment, if we're that branch connected to the vine, as I said last Sunday, there's no cold love, there's no hatred, there's none of those things, unbelief, doubt, gossiping, and lying. You will not find that if you're connected to the true vine, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Now, with all of that being said, Jesus is changing gears. He's moving now from the commandment to love one another to the word hate, which he uses seven times. So if he uses that word seven times, he's speaking about the world's hatred, or the perfect hatred the world has for him and for the church, those who name the name of the Lord, and also that they're going not only going to be hated, they're going to be persecuted. Now, with all that being said, whenever the world, I'm talking this morning about why does the world hate Christians, okay? Why does the world hate Christians? Listen, have you noticed that the moment that anyone in the world that's an unbeliever, in the workplace, in high school, in college, wherever it might be, when they discover something about you, when they discover that you are no longer of this world, when they discover that you name the name of Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, have you noticed that they change gears with you? Have you noticed that they look at you differently? Have you noticed that maybe they don't want to hang out with you? They want to stay as far away from you as they can get? Have you ever noticed that? Amen. And now Jesus is going to tell us why the world hates believers. Looking at verse 18. Jesus said this in the upper room now. It's just hours before he's going to the cross. Remember that. It says, if the world hates you, and let me add to scripture, and it does hate you, okay? You know that it hated me before it hated you. When Jesus uses the word world, he's not talking about rivers and trees and mountains and sunsets and sunrises and stars and moons, is he? No, he's speaking about those that are in the world who are under the world system that is controlled by the wicked one. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, we know that we are from God. In other words, that is our position. We know that we are born from above. We belong to God. And that it says, and that we also know something else, that the whole world system, it says, lies under the sway or in the arms of the wicked one, meaning the devil, the god of this age, the deceiver. Now, you know, the fact is that the world that we live in today, when it says the world system that Jesus is talking about, which is Antichrist, basically, all right, it means a world or a society or a people who live independently from God. They don't believe in God. They want nothing to do with God. They are actually organized, and they don't know it, but they're organized against the Word of God. They don't desire the Lord. They don't believe in Him. And it's a world system where God is literally left out. So the same world that hates Jesus, what he just told us, they will hate you. Isn't that a terrible thing? Think about that for a moment. You know, it says, and look what he says in verse 19. He's talking to the disciples. He's talking to us. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, and the reason that you're not of the world, look how it happened, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Man, listen. If the world loves you, you got a problem. Amen? If the world, those who don't, that hate God, don't want anything to do with God, they hate even the mention of the name Jesus. You can mention any other name under heaven, but man, when you mention him, everything, their eyes glaze over. You know what I'm saying? Hey, come on. You mention him, listen. It is all over with. So if the world loves you, examine your walk because you're not of this world. If you're a believer, matter of fact, you have been rescued from the world that you once walked in. Does that make sense? Yes, you're no longer of this world. Listen, we are the branches, okay? If we abide in the vine, like from verse 1 through verse 17, I'm going to tell you something. If we live in verse 1 through 17, you're not going to be appreciated by everyone. You're probably going to be hated by many, many people because Jesus just told us that. So as we are abiding in the vine, though, we're there for a purpose, remember? We're abiding there bearing fruit. And you know what? We're bearing fruit for the greatest need in all of the world, and that is the fruit of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's exactly what the world needs. They don't believe they need it. They don't know that they need it. But God says, yes, they need it. In other words, they need to be saved. Amen? So you're bearing that fruit. So Jesus chose the disciples. He chose us as well out of the world. Therefore, it says the world hates you. Remember, that's not a divine privilege. He chose you because it's of a divine purpose. We're called to change this world that we live in. May I say to you, no one likes to hang out or work with or be around obnoxious Christians. Amen? There's nothing worse than that, where the believers act like they're better than the lost. Man, listen, we're saved by grace. Listen, I'll tell you, we were just as messed up as they are. Do you understand? We were just as dead in trespasses and sins as the lost. We can't expect a lost person to act like Christ because you have to be born again. Amen? Your eyes and heart have to be open. So chosen out of the world means something. It means, number one, that this is not our home. It's not our home. Aren't you glad that this is not our home? The older that you get in your walk with Christ, I promise you, you will be going, thank God this is not our home. The Bible calls the believer pilgrims, strangers, aliens. That's what the Bible calls all of us, foreigners. The Bible tells us that we are citizens of heaven. We're looking for a new heavens, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, as it says in Peter. Listen. Chosen out of this world means, number one, that we do not love the world. 1 John 2:15. We do not love the world. We do not, meaning the world system that is Antichrist. We do not love the world, nor do we love the things of the world, because all the things that are in the world are not of the Father. We don't belong to God, this world system that is opposed and against him. It goes on to say, for all that is in the world, meaning everything that is in this world system, it's controlled by three things: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. John goes on and he says, listen, he says, and the world is passing away. The world system is passing away. Do you know the world system that we're living in right now is passing away? And it goes on and says, and the lust thereof. And then the best part, it says that he who doeth the will of God abideth for ever and ever and ever and ever. So if we're born again, loved one, listen, we're not of this world. And that means that, you know what? We don't love the world. We don't love the things of the world. And not only that, like it says in James 4:4, we are not friends with this world, because friendship with the world is enmity with God. Boy, God is upset about that. In other words, if you read James 4:4, it starts out, it goes, you adulterers and adulteresses. Man, talking about spiritual adultery, where believers are loving the world more than loving God. Man, that's a bad place to be. So we don't do that. And the other thing, if we're not of this world, it means that, like it says in Romans 12:1-2, that we're not being conformed to this world. We're not being squeezed into the mold of this world, but we're being transformed, amen, by the renewing of our minds. Now, the united cry of the entire world system, okay, it's found in one word, and that word is conform. Conform. They want you to be molded into their image. And let me say something. In every generation, the cry is the same. It never, never changes. For a believer to accept the values of this world, okay, that are anti-God, anti-Christ, you know what's going to happen? You'll be accepted. But if you say one word, oh, if you could only see the letters and the emails that I get from the radios, stations from across the nation. If, man, they get upset. If you challenge anyone's lifestyle, do you understand? If you say that their lifestyle is sin, they're going to persecute you. They're going to hate you. I promise you, they don't want anything to do with you. We live in a land that we all love called America. And yet America, a loved one, as you see it, I see it, we're living under the illusion that we are being governed by God. But we're not being governed by God at all, this nation. And the reason we can say that is because we've seen how our government, our country, legislates morality. They vote sin in or they vote sin out. Mainly they vote sin in. In other words, they give sin legal rights. And so they're opposed to us. Remember what Isaiah the prophet said? In Isaiah 5:20, he says, woe to those. That word woe is a bad word, okay? It says, woe to those, literally, who attempt to destroy God's standards of right and wrong. In other words, who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. In other words, when a people or government, a nation believes that they are wiser than Almighty God. Jesus told us in John 7:7, the reason for the world's hatred to him and to believers. And it was because Jesus says, I testify you that the works that you do in the world, Jesus said, they are evil, okay? Look at verse 20. Jesus said, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, and they did persecute our Lord, they will also persecute you. Now listen, I go do a word study on the word persecute. Do you know what that word literally means? It means to pursue or hunt down a wild animal. That's what the word persecute means. Jesus said, if they kept my word, but they didn't keep his word, but if they did, they will keep yours also, but they didn't keep the disciples' word also. Now listen carefully. You know, when Jesus spoke that a servant is not greater than his master, he said, remember that. He's taking us back to John 13. Remember when he washed the disciples' feet. Now, the question that we should ask ourselves is this, and let's be honest, do we really want to be like our Lord? And we would all say yes. Amen. We all want, Lord, we want to be like you. We want to love others and forgive others. We want to walk, we want to have your peace in our heart. We want to look at other people the way you look at other people and care. But if I ask you another question, I say, well, that's wonderful. You want to be like Jesus. The other question would be, do you want to be treated like Jesus? You understand? Persecuted, hated, betrayed. Because Jesus said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. If the world hates me, they're going to hate you. Jesus said in his word, very unpopular in the church today, he said, you're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted. Do you want to be hated? No. Do I want to be hated, persecuted, betrayed? Of course I don't. However, if you go in other parts of the world where Christianity has almost been completely wiped out because of persecution and murder and hatred and all of that, that's their reality. That's not the reality that we have here in America. Matter of fact, 21st century Christianity, and I say this with great tenderness, they believe that basically that we shouldn't have any storms in life, any trials in this life and so forth. And our life should really, we deserve like a trouble-free life. But that's not true, is it? No, not if you have a biblical worldview. And if those believers who have a view like that, maybe they've not been taught, maybe they haven't read the Word of God the correct way. The fact of the matter is, they have a false reality of what the Christian life really is. We must prepare our hearts always for persecution. You should be just, it's automatic, just prepare your hearts for it. And we do that by taking God's Word seriously. Jesus said, Bill, listen, he told Matthew and Luke and John and all the rest of them in the upper room, you're going to be hated, guys. It's just the way it is. I'm giving you my peace. I'm giving you my joy, my complete joy. You can the fruitfulness of prayer is going to be yours. You're going to be my friends, but here's the deal. I'm leaving, and they're going to hate you after I leave because they hated me. There's no way around it. Jesus just told us. But we have to take God's word seriously. One of the most disappointing scriptures, but yet is so true, in the Word of God concerning betrayal or persecution and hatred is when Jesus spoke in Luke 21:16, and he said this, you will be betrayed even by parents. Isn't that, man, that just cuts you, doesn't it? Mom and dad. You'll even be betrayed by brothers. You'll be betrayed by relatives. You'll be betrayed by friends, and they will, and some of them will put you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Gosh, Jesus, you mean I'm going to be betrayed by those? Maybe I don't want to be, and neither do you, and I'm not saying it's happened to us, but you know what? Can you imagine being betrayed by those you love? And we look at the decay that's happening today, the loyalty in the American family. Man, I don't want any of that. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:12 that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, it says, here's the deal. You're going to suffer that persecution. Jesus told us in Luke 6:22, he said, blessed are you when men hate you. That means, that word blessed means, oh, how happy. I've never been happy about that, have you? But he says, oh, how happy. I said, well, why, Lord? He says, oh, man, be blessed. He says, when men hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you, when they cast out your name as evil, meaning the name Christian, for the Son of Man's sake. In other words, because of me. You know, Paul writing to the church at Philippi, he said this in Philippians 1:29. He says, for to you it has been granted. That word granted means a gracious, beautiful gift. It has been granted on behalf of Christ, not for only you to believe in him, but to also suffer for his name's sake. Not your sake, but for his sake. That word suffer speaks not of being ill. It speaks of persecution in your life. So, you know, we truly prepare for persecution by simply believing that it's a privilege when we're persecuted. You know, sometimes I don't feel it's a privilege at all. Do you? Let me give you an example. There was a person last week that was tailing my wife, okay? And so she's coming home. It's in the evening. And he's behind her going like this. Do you follow me? Oh, yeah. But see, I didn't know who it was until I got home. And then I knew that he knew who we were. Are you following me? And so she gets in. She's all rattled. She tells me all about it. And I'm going, okay, this guy, he hates you. He hates me. You know what I mean? Let's go shoot him. No. Was there something in me that thought that? Where's the Glock for the flock? You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, but no, I knew, okay, Lord, this is, see, it doesn't bother me if I'm persecuted. I can handle it. Don't mess with my wife. Don't you even look at her wrong, or I will love you. You understand? No. So, this gentleman, Thursday. See, he's outside. I'm outside. He's across the street. I'm on the good side of the street. I'm on the side where the blessing is. Man, there was a stare down. But I had my sunglasses on. He wanted a piece of the pastor because he knows that's what I do. But see, the reason he hates me is because he doesn't know God. He doesn't understand God. He wants to tear me to pieces. So what am I doing? I am praying for him. Oh, God, here I just bless this man. Put those hot coals upon his head, Lord. You know what I mean? You know, praying that he would get saved. You know what I'm saying? See, you know, people, they have the wrong impression of Christians right off the bat if they don't know the Lord. And that's why you have to be prepared. If you're not prepared to be persecuted, you're going to go, why'd they say that about me? I mean, I'm not a bad person. You know, listen, you are a believer and you're not of this world. You don't belong to this world. Man, you've been chosen. You are chosen by the Lord out of the world that we live in. It is a privilege. It tells you that you're living like Jesus because they hate Jesus. Are you listening to me? You remember in the book of Acts chapter 5, 40, 41, right in that area. The disciples had been forbidden to teach in the name of Jesus. And so Gamaliel comes and says, listen, leave them alone. If this be of God, you can't stop it. But if it be of man, it's just going to fall apart. So they called the disciples there, and then they did the scourging, you know, 39 lashes and so forth, literally beat them, stripped their skin. And it says in the Word of God, after that happened, it says, and they departed the presence of the council, meaning the Sanhedrin. They departed. Their backs are bloody, real pain. And it says, rejoicing. They were rejoicing, not because they were beaten. They were rejoicing, it says, because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name. Man, what a people, that first century church. John writes later in 1 John 3:13, he says, don't marvel. He says, don't marvel if the world hates you. Don't let it be like a shock or some kind of surprise. Listen, they don't hate you. They hate Jesus in you. Do you understand that? You see, you're just a branch. I'm just a branch. But when you connect to the vine, all of a sudden the life of Christ, the love of God, the goodness of God, the joy, everything comes into you, and the world sees it and they despise it. They don't hate you. They hate Jesus in you. You know, listen, if you're going to be hated, if you're going to be persecuted, do it for the right reason, that they see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? That's why Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 10, he says, blessed, oh, how happy, to be envied, fortunate, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, meaning because of your Christian lifestyle. You know, there was, I think I told you this story, it wasn't too long ago. I even forget when it was, but I know it was this year. And Becky and I, we went up to Oklahoma, and just for 3 days rest, just to sit and pray. I mean, I didn't even get out of that chair. It was a little cabin up there, just looked out into the woods and talked to chipmunks and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Hugged a couple of trees and, you know. So we decided to go eat. So she Googled, said this is the best place to eat in this little town that we were in, you know. And so when I pulled up to the place, I looked and I said, I'm not pulling in that place. I mean, it was like gravel for you, no asphalt, and the place was falling apart. And they said, well, it's given the best rating in the city. I said, yeah, but they don't have a lot to choose from. You know what I mean? This is the truth. We walk into that place minding our own business. I don't have on a Christian t-shirt. Becky doesn't have on a Christian t-shirt. We walk in, we sit down, we get into a booth, and immediately there were four guys right across from us. The moment I looked over, you know the look. You know they don't like you. And I knew that it was spiritual, but they kept looking at me and taunting me and smiling at me and, you know, that look. And I'm going, I told Beck, I said, here's the deal. I said, here is a glass sugar jar. You know those, remember the glass? I said, you have a fork? I have a fork. Edge of the feather time. I'm going to use all the kung fu I know. I said, these guys want a piece of me. They're mocking you. They are mocking me. Why were they doing that? Because of Jesus. There was something spiritual. I don't know what it was. I finally just quit looking at them because I didn't want them to beat me to pieces. Do you understand? But the fact of the matter is you can walk into places like that and it just automatically happens and you don't even know why. Go to the mall and you'll see exactly what I'm saying. It's like every demon in hell manifests if you go to the mall, and I only go once a year, okay? Yeah, no. Now look what Jesus is saying here in verse 21. He says, listen, all these things that they will do to you for my name's sake, in other words, because of me. Why are they going to do it? Here's the reason. It says, because they do not know him, they do not know God the Father who sent me. We are persecuted in this world because the world doesn't know God. They don't believe in God, and the God that they do believe in isn't the God of the Bible. Listen, if you'd ask any of the religious rulers at that time, do you know who God is? They would have said, oh, absolutely we know who God is. We belong to him. But the fact of the matter is they only knew about God. They didn't know him personally. They wanted the Son of God, the Emmanuel, God with us, God man, God in the flesh. They wanted Jesus dead. That's why Jesus told him in John 8:37, he says, you want to kill me. And here's why. The word, my word, all the scriptures also that's in your old covenant. He says, it doesn't dwell in you. He told him again in John 8:47, he said this. He says, you are not of God. He says, because God, those that are God hear God's word. He says, you're not of God. You know, not at all. Listen, the root cause of all hatred, persecution against Christ and his church is because of ignorance. People are ignorant of God's word. They're ignorant of God created everything. God created man. He created woman. They're just ignorant of it. They don't know that God the Father sent Jesus the Son into the world to save him. Or they may have heard it, but they certainly don't believe it. Did you know that most persecution doesn't come from the outside? Do you know where most persecution and hatred comes from today? From the inside. Oh, how could we ever hate one another? If the Bible says, if you hate your brother, you don't have eternal life living in you. Think about that. He said, no, listen, to hate someone as a believer is a grievous thing. In my first pastorate, I'll never forget it as long as I live. And we had a theater, and I was late. I was coming out of the main lobby area into the auditorium, and the praise band actually had already, they were over with, and I was late getting to the pulpit. And this gentleman or person, he stopped me, and he said, I've got to talk to you, Bill. I said, man, listen, I am late. I've got to get up. He grabbed me by the arm, and he said, I've got to talk to you. I said, okay, what is it? He said, I just want you to know that I've always hated you. I said, thank you. And I said, can I go now? But that was in the church. In the church. Man, we are the body of Christ. If you're connected to the vine, you're not going to find any hatred in there except the hatred against sin. Amen? That's right. Now look down at verse 22. Jesus said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Now, Jesus didn't say that if I hadn't have come, they wouldn't have had any sin. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying that the religious ruler, since I did come, explained everything to them. They have no excuses for their sin at all. And then we find out what their sin is in verse 23. Jesus said, he who hates me hates the Father also. And see, they claim to love God the Father. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now, number one, they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. So what was the sin? It was a sin of not knowing God, even though Jesus revealed God to them. Remember what Jesus said in John 14:9, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. They had seen his works. They had heard his word. They still didn't believe. No generation in the history of the world has ever been given a greater privilege than to hear Jesus teach, to hear him speak, to see all the incredible works that he has done. It's just the works that no one else has ever done. What were his works? My gosh. I mean, John, at the end of the Gospel of John, he says, I suppose if the books could not be contained of all the things that Jesus did, the miracles and so forth. You know, Jesus healed, raised Lazarus from the dead. He healed lepers. He raised the dead. He fed the 5,000. All the things. They saw all of those works. But see, Jesus' works and Jesus' words are the Father's works and the Father's words as well. And so he says, well, you hate me, you hate God, you've seen it all. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in, and this is very important. Did you see what Jesus used? He said, their law, meaning their own law, the old covenant, the Old Testament. They hated me without a cause. So Jesus is quoting from a messianic psalm, which you should really study. It's beautiful. Psalm 69, verse 4 is the scripture he's quoting right here. So, but what Jesus is saying is, your own scriptures, they condemn you because you're not supposed to hate. You're hating me, and you're not supposed to hate this at all. So the hate for Jesus, it didn't begin when Jesus was born. You know what I mean? I mean, there, right there, began all the way back at Genesis 3:15, didn't it? That divine promise given of the Messiah who was going to come into all the world. And time and time again, the Jews were trying to be wiped off the face of the earth. But Jesus, from the moment he came into this earth, you know, Herod, he wanted to kill him himself. What a horrible thought. I mean, to have that kind of hatred. Why would anyone hate Jesus? You know, when I was an unbeliever and people would make fun of Jesus, I never liked that. You know, I would say, why are you... You know, what if he's real? What if Jesus is real? Why would you talk about him like that? You know, I mean, you don't know what's out there. You're so limited. And I didn't realize, and of course, I didn't say I was a believer. I was just saying, what if? And you know, the fact is why would anyone hate Jesus? What did Jesus do to make anyone hate him all the days of his earthly ministry? Did he ever harm anyone? Did he ever make a wrong decision or judgment about anyone? Did he ever lie? No. Listen, what did Jesus do? He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them. Think about that. Jesus was despised from the moment he was born. Isaiah prophesied it. It says in Isaiah 53:3 that he, talking about Jesus the Messiah, he is despised and he is rejected or literally forsaken by men. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid his faces, or if it were our faces from him, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. That means that the world that he came to, this world, placed absolutely no value on the Lamb of God who is about to take away, and who has, of course, the sin of this world. I mean, think about it. Even in the very end, all the disciples fled. He's left all alone. Peter's going to be by the fire warming himself and denying him. I mean, he had not one single supporter. He was left alone. But he said, when that happened, he says, but God, my Father, is with me. You know, to be so despised by man. Remember in Luke's gospel where Jesus, when they arrested him, and Jesus said, this is your hour. This is the power or the hour of darkness. And that means that hour, that time frame that they took our Lord, and he was so despised that just simply crucifying him was not good enough for man. They had to beat him. They had to scourge him and spit upon him for no reason. But that fulfilled the prophecies, didn't it? Yes. There's not been anyone in this world that has ever walked this earth that has been as good and as loving and as perfect as a sinless, spotless Son of the living God, our Savior, the one who chose us out of this world. Amen. But when the Helper comes, oh, praise the Lord for that, whom I shall send to you. Now look, notice, from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. Now watch this. He uses a pronoun, he. The Holy Spirit is a person, amen? Not an it, all right? He will testify of me. Did you catch the Trinity there? You have the Father, the Spirit, and then it says testify of me, meaning the Son of God. There's the Trinity right there. Hated? Yes, Jesus is hated. We're going to be hated. But you know what? When the Helper comes, Jesus said, I'm going to send him. I'm going to send him to you. Do you remember when that happened? It happened, what, at the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost. It happened at Acts chapter 2, verse 32 through 33, the day that Peter was preaching the first Christian gospel sermon, okay, about our Lord. And he talks about, they were asking, what is this that we now see and hear, the tongues and all of that that was going on? And he said, listen, he cries out and he says, listen, this is the promise of the Holy Spirit. He, meaning Jesus, poured out on which you now see and hear. How did that happen? He says in his sermon, he says, Jesus, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God. In other words, all power, all authority now given to him. The moment he arrived in heaven, then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, another like Jesus, if you will, one like me, he says, Jesus is now poured out. Oh, that is the divine helper of the church. Now listen to me. The upper room experience in Acts chapter 2, level 1, that's not the new birth. Those 120 that were in the upper room, they were already saved. Amen? That's right. This is the promise of the power to be endued with power from upon high. That's one of the greatest needs in the body of Christ today. And look at the purpose of this. And you also will bear witness or testify of me. And he tells us why. Because the disciples, they had been with him from the beginning. So the divine helper, the Holy Spirit of God, is going to join with the disciples just like he has joined with us. Did you know it is impossible to bear and testify of the Lord apart from the divine helper? You can't do it. See, it's the Holy Spirit in us that we testify about Jesus' death and his burial and his resurrection, his ascension, his soon coming. Amen? Oh, that's what it's all about. Listen, the witness of the Spirit is needed in every generation. There has to be this false teaching or false idea removed from the church that, listen, I'm called by the Lord. I'm a pastor teacher. But my calling is no greater than your calling. You're just as called as I am. We have been given the authority. We have been given the capacity to change the city that we live in. 2018 is going to be a wonderful year if Jesus tarries. Amen. We have that authority, loved one. We have all that we need, and we're going to discover that in 2018 during the New Year's, the several probably New Year's messages. Oh, listen, no, I'm excited about that. But, you know, don't say, well, you know, Bill's called and I'm not. You're called just as I, as much as I am. Amen? There's no difference. I'm just fulfilling the office that God has called me to. I hope I am, okay? Now listen, the purpose of Pentecost wasn't so everybody could speak in other tongues, amen? That was a wonderful thing. Nothing wrong with speaking in tongues, but that wasn't the purpose. The purpose was to birth the church, amen? Not only birth the church, but Jesus birthed the church for the purpose of world evangelism. You know, listen, Acts 1:8. Jesus told the disciples, he tells us, but ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, not in you, but upon you, that endowment of power, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the utter parts of the earth. Let me ask you a question. Is evangelism over? Well, if it's not over, the promise of the endowment of power from upon high is still available for every believer today. You can't make it when you're being persecuted without the Holy Spirit. You can't stand without the Holy Spirit. Listen, the only plan that Jesus has for reaching the world that hates him and hates you is you. There's no plan B. You are God's plan for reaching the world that hates Jesus. Matter of fact, you are the only plan that Jesus has for reaching those who persecuted him and persecute you. You're the answer. There are no other answers. No wonder Jesus told us at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. He said, blessed, oh, how happy, that word again. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, meaning the Christ-likeness in your own life. Listen to what he says. And blessed are you when they revile you. Blessed are you when they persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. In other words, the verbal insults and the lies and so forth. He says, and they do it for my sake, on account of me, because of your faithfulness to Jesus. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. Listen, we don't ever have to worry about those who persecute us from the world. Jesus has overcome the world. And we are in him who has overcome the world. Amen? Listen, we are going to move forward into 2018, and the things that God is calling us to do will not only glorify his name, our light will be shining so bright in this city, in this county, loved one, that what we do for God, the works that we do, they will bring such glory to God, it will blow us away. We don't have to worry about persecution. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in this world. Those that are persecuting you, maybe in the workplace and college or whatnot, your old friends, don't worry about it. Serve the Lord. Walk with him. Amen? That's the greatest thing we can do. Now, with all that being said, let's pray. Father, we just praise you. We love you for the truth of your word. We know, Lord, that the world hates you, and they do so, as you said, without a cause. And they hate us, O Lord, without a cause. Or I pray that's the case. I pray this morning as we move now into the holiday season, into the Christmas season, Lord, I pray that there is a spirit of rejoicing. I pray that there is peace. Never on this earth will it happen, but peace in this chapel and in the heart of every person. I pray that there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord, that they'll make their way to the altar during the song service or after the song service, and there'll be people, loving people here to pray with them. We love you, Lord. Let us not be a timid people or a fearful people. We have nothing to fear except God. Help us to stand strong, Lord. Help us to not be so sensitive when the world says bad things about us, persecutes us, reviles us. Help us, Lord. Bless your people now. Bless them, O Lord, as they depart. Bless them in their homes and bless them in their workplace and all that they do. Whatever they set their hands to do, Lord, for you, let it prosper. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning.